It's talking about physiological limits of yield and deficit irrigation.
Thank you. The topic I'm talking about today is physiologic determination of yield in corn hybrids under limited irrigation in Texas high plains. So first of all, let me acknowledge my colleagues, Tom Smerick, Brent Bean, Wenwei Xu, Jerry Michaels, Kirk Jessup, and Jacob Becker. So we are from AgriLife Research at Amarillo and Lubbock. Well, just give you a little bit of background of the corn. Corn production in northern Texas high plains is over 50%. It's 52% of Texas total. Also, the annual production is $420 million. That is a very big cash crop. So corn yield is being is very high. Some of the farmers in that area hold the national records. A few of our farmers normally, every year we have farmers win the national yield contest in corn. That's, if you look at the graph here, it's north part of the panhandle. That is the, you are looking at 350 bushels of corn. That's very high yield. Well, the high productivity of corn has been relayed on the irrigation from the Oglala Aquifer. That's every year we have 176 million cubic meter of water is used for irrigation. It's just for corn. That is large amount of water each year is used to produce corn. So the irrigation water there in this area is mainly from the Oglala Aquifer. That is the underground water. The major irrigation events start in the 1950s, but in last 40 years, 50 years, the water level in this Oglala Aquifer has been declined. So the projection is continuously decline in next 50 years, 100 years. Because this aquifer is have very small recharge rate. Once this water used up, will be used up. So if for the future, we must face the reduction of the irrigation water. Thus, maybe in next 50 years, 20 years, who knows, will be limited irrigation will probably be the norm in that area. That will be challenging our corn, especially corn production for irrigation. So we must develop some management strategies to face the future for corn production. So our goal is to achieve high yield with limited irrigation. Here we are talking about if any possibility we use about 300 millimeters of water, because normally the farmer's theory is right now is use about 600 millimeters, 700 millimeters. Some of this may use the this year probably they use up to 800 millimeters of water. Everybody knows the drought in Texas this year. So this year probably they pump lots of water if they want to maintain high yield of corn. So another goal is we try to conserve the irrigation water and increase the water use efficiency. So our objectives is what we try to determine the yield performance, water use and water use efficiency. Also, we want to identify the proper hybrids and optimum plant densities. Another two objectives is one is we want to understand the physiologic determination of yield. Then, lastly, we want to get the assess economic returns and the profitabilities. Here, I'm just mainly reports the physiological determinations of yield, these hybrids. We have a field study. It's in the northern Texas High Plains. It's in AgriLife Research Center near the. It's north, 5 miles north of Dumas, Texas. It's the center of the corn production area. So we have the treatments include. We only use one irrigation level, which is only up to 300 millimeters of water. We based on the 50% of the plant available water in the up to soaking stage. We have three commercial hybrids. One is Monsanto hybrid is the C6787. We have two Pioneer hybrids. One is the P31 G96. One is P33 D49. So we have four planting densities, 5, 6, 7, 8 seeds per square meter. We have four reps. We use the plot size we use is a production scale is 300 feet long and 30 feet wide. It's 9 meters wide, 90 meters long. That's production field. So we use the regular 30-inch row spacing is 76 centimeters. The soil in our area is the salty clay soil. This soil can hold a lot of water. So the study is under the central pivot system. We collect the soil water content before planting and after maturity. Also, we did some biomass sampling, pre-soaking, soaking, and at maturity. We also measured some gas exchanges, photosynthesis, and thermal conductance. We also monitored the leaf greenness, how the leaf senesce during the grain feeding, use a chlorophyll meter. Finally, I did the hand harvest. Also, we combine harvest as well. We determine the yield components, and harvest index. We use a water balance model to measure the evapotranspiration during the whole season. Also calculate the water use efficiency in grain yield. Well, let's look at some results. First of all, we conduct this study in 2010 and 2011 in two seasons. This is a very extreme two seasons. 2010 is kind of average, is above average in terms of seasonal precipitation. From April to September, we got about 440 millimeters of precipitation. But this year, if you look at this year, it's only 91 millimeters. It's pretty much fall. I think 60-70% fall is after June 30, after second week of July. Well, virtually, we pretty much don't get anything this year for corn in terms of precipitation. It's pretty much it's dryland corn this year. This is the daily evapotranspiration demand for fall irrigation corn. In 2 years, you can see it's 2010 and 2011 is very big difference in terms, especially in the early growth stage from May to somewhere July 4th. Last year you can see the maximum is maybe is about 8 millimeters water demand last year, but this year it can be we can get as high as 30 millimeters per day for evapotranspiration in terms of fall irrigation corn. So this year you can look at is very high demand of the water. That is because the high temperature we have in Panhandle, Texas, this year we get the record high temperature is we have 50 days, consecutive days is over 100 degrees. We have 100 days is over 90 degrees. That is the record high in the history in this area. So that is very high demand of the water this year. Well, I just want to show the yield from 2010. That's relatively wet year. This year's data we are still collecting. We still analyze the data. But from last year's data, we can see there is no plant density effect on yield, biomass, and water use efficiency. We only see the difference in terms of three hybrids. You can see here is they use same amount of evapotranspiration for three hybrids. They are about 640 millimeters of water. But the Pioneer P31, D49 have the highest yield. The other two hybrids, they end up the same yield. Also, you can see very high water use efficiency value last year we can achieve. Normally, the average water use efficiency in our area, you probably look at about 17, 18, that's what we high water use efficiency. But last year, we got very high water use efficiency. In terms of yield components, there is no interaction of hybrids and plant density. I just show the main effects there. That's in 2010 data. You can see this among these three hybrids, D33, P33, D49, produce more seeds per plant and more seeds per square meter. However, it has the little bit lower seeds weight compared with the other two hybrids. When you increase the planting density in last year, you increase the seeds per square, number of seeds per square meter, but the reduced number of seeds per plant. This graph shows the difference in these three hybrids. Why this P33, D49 have higher yield? We found it's kind of have higher harvest index. Also, this Monsanto hybrids kind of have a low harvest index when it's very low planting density. That's kind of otherwise, you really don't see much difference in terms of planting density. You can see we plot the data, it's raw data from different plots. So you can clearly see the linear relationship between the biomass and yield. Also, you can see the Pioneer D33, P33, D49 have higher harvest index here from this linear regression. This is the photosynthesis data. It's gas exchange, photosynthesis rates, stomatal conductance, and transpiration, and transpiration efficiency. This shows some data from this year on the water stress. In last year, we didn't see much difference in terms of this gas exchange in parameters in these three hybrids. But this year, you can clearly see the difference. Also, the P33, D49 have higher photosynthetic rate and higher stomatal conductance and the transpiration rate. Also, we monitor the leaf chlorophyll content over the during the grain feeding. You can see this year, 2011, clearly, we can see this P33, D49 have higher, over the season, it have higher chlorophyll content, which means this hybrid is kind of senesce a little bit slower than the other two hybrids. The other Pioneer hybrids is kind of opposite. This one senesce really fast. Also, this hybrid somehow has lots of tillers, even at very high density, it's still tiller. That's kind of the difference with the other hybrids. The Monsanto hybrid is kind of in the middle. Well, in summarize the preliminary data from 2 years, we can see high yield can be achieved with limited irrigation is 300 millimeters in a relative wet year like last year, but definitely it's not this year. The P33, D49 have higher yield than the other two hybrids. At least in 2010, I'm hoping we will see the difference this year as well, but will be low yield. Planting density didn't affect yield in 2010, but we will see what the results in this year. But the higher yield in P33, D49 is contributed by more seeds per plant and per square meter, as well as higher harvest index. So we see the higher photosynthetic rate and the longer period of state grain contributed to the high harvest index in this Pioneer P33, D49. Well, these are some preliminary data in 2 years. We're hoping to complete everything this fall. We'll have a better picture for these three hybrids at four planting densities. Is there any questions? Yeah. We don't. He's asked does the interval is from? Yeah, ESI. Yeah, he's talking about the interval from soaking to antithesis. No, we didn't. Yes.
Can you tell us something about the way you measure photosynthesis? At what stage do you and at what length, and why they're irrigated in the environment? Because the numbers you showed are about 1/5 of maximum photosynthetic rate, so they're very low. Can you explain that?
Yeah, the photosynthesis data I showed this year is very dry conditions during the grain filling. The question is why the gas exchange data looks so low. We measure them during the from middle to late grain filling. The plots didn't get any precipitation and irrigation since July 13th. That's about 1 month, about 4 to 6 weeks of water stress. That is, the numbers are so low.
Your yield for 2011 is likely to be much lower, right?
Yes, well, much, much lower. yeah, that's pretty much like dryland corn this year. Even we put the 12 inches of water, that's pretty much, it's very little water. Thank you.